One of my favorite elements of predictive modeling is the idea of emergent behaviors. So you set up a bunch of inputs and then you watch the model as it runs in the future. And sometimes elements appear from the output that you never anticipated and that were never thought of in setting up the actual model. Is there anything like that in climate science?
Yeah, there are emergent phenomena. The climate is a complex system. I don't mean it's a complicated system. It's a mathematically complex system, and complex systems do illustrate emergent behavior. Some examples of that, close to my heart, although sadly I didn't do the research, is if you run climate models for long periods of time, you can capture a binary pattern over the Sahara. In certain simulations under elevated CO2, the Sahara greens, and you go back to a climate similar to the Romans had over the Sahara, where there was wheat belts. In other simulations, it stays perfectly arid. You don't prescribe that. You don't say, I want it to rain more over the Sahara, or I want it to rain less. It emerges from the way the background physics interact to lead to an emergent state that isn't observed in the present climate. Where you see that emergent behavior, it tells you that it's an interaction between very complex physics, and you don't tend to have confidence in which way it will go. It's a little bit like taking a seesaw in a kid's playground and moving it up and down very vigorously and then stopping. And it's very difficult to predict which end of the seesaw will be left lying on the ground. And it's a little bit like that with some ice sheets, the long-term futures of the Amazon, whether we'll end up in a permanent La Nina or permanent El Nino state, or whether the ongoing cyclical behavior between El Nino and La Nina will continue, and things like the rainfall patterns over the Sahara. We have very low confidence that we can accurately predict those things, but we can say what the probabilities are of ending up in one state or another. So just because something's complex and emergent doesn't say you can't say important things about it in the future. It just limits the confidence that you can have in that prediction. So, I mean, there's some very simple examples you can think of in the real world where a small change has a dramatic outcome. If you're struggling financially and interest rates drop 0.5%, it can have a huge impact on you because you happen to be in a weak financial state. Whereas somebody with loads and loads of money, 0.5% decline in interest rates is an extra bottle of wine at the weekend. And another really good analogy is if you walk around on the top of a cliff, you can walk around on top of a cliff walking many, 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 many kilometers for days and no impact at all. Then you take one little tiny step and you fall off the edge of the cliff, and it has catastrophic consequences. So the general sense we have is that there is a reaction to a change proportional to the scale of the forcing. And that, of course, when you actually think about it, isn't like that at all. You drive up the freeway tonight at 110, and suddenly the car in front of you stops. They may have only pressed the brake fairly gently, but you slam into them, and the consequences are way out of proportion with the initial change the driver in front of you has triggered. And the same applies to the climate system. There are these things called feedbacks, which can amplify the initial response. A really good example is snow, where if you warm a landscape by a very small amount, it can trigger the melt of snow. And if you melt the snow, the reflectivity of the landscape changes from, say, 70% to 15%, literally overnight, and it completely changes how that landscape responds to weather and climate. Other examples are a permafrost stays frozen until it melts. It's a sudden, catastrophic change in the state of the permafrost as it transitions from frozen to liquid. And when it makes that transition, it releases large amounts of methane, which is stored in the ice. That provides a positive, a bad feedback on climate by releasing methane, which is an active greenhouse gas. And in the climate system, most of the time, the negative feedbacks dominate. They keep things stable. Like in your body, if you're out for a run, you start to sweat, and that's a negative feedback, a good feedback. The sweating helps you stay cool. At some point later on, though, if you keep running, that negative feedback stops, and in effect, you die. And that's analogous to the climate system, where most of the time the negative feedback's the dominant process, but at some point you trigger a failure of those negative feedbacks, and you end up in a catastrophic change that might only be catastrophic for a local region or for a particular vegetation type or for the presence of snow in your ski field. But at the larger scale, sustained emissions of CO2 ultimately, hundreds and hundreds of years into the future, trigger the collapse of the negative feedbacks, the amplification of the bad positive feedbacks, and the kind of situation you see on Venus, where it's 400 something Celsius, and that's not all that good for the weekend barbecue.